This is iFaith 79. We're entering the books of the Kings. First and Second Kings span a period of about 400 years, from the death of David in the 10th century until the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians in the 6th century. There were many kings, and it gets even more complicated after the first few because Israel ends up splitting into a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. And so there are dozens of kings. Hard to remember all of them, but certainly worth knowing about many of them. Today, we'll be looking at two of the kings. But as we'll see, the two kings are the same person. I know that's a bit mysterious, but let's get into the text. I'll be reading for 1 Kings 4, initially, in this message, which is called The Wise Fool, or subtitled The Sophomore. God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure, and breadth of mind like the sand on the seashore, so that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of the people of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. His fame was in all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs. His songs were 1,005. He spoke of trees, from the cedar that is in Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the wall. He spoke also of beasts and of birds and of reptiles and of fish, and the people of all nations came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. This is an amazing passage which shows us that this fellow was not only intelligent, but he was learned in many different areas. He has an encyclopedic kind of knowledge. He knows about botany and zoology. He's got this musical side, because often people who are good in science or math are undeveloped in the arts. But Solomon says that he has 1,005 songs. We have something from him in the Book of Psalms. We have a few hundred proverbs, but most of his proverbs, like his songs, do not survive. He was insightful. He was discerning in judgment, and we see this. He actually asked God to give him. God offered a free wish. God said, I'll give you whatever you want. And Solomon said, give me wisdom so that I can lead your people, that I can discern. And so he's got this discernment. He's a great administrator. You know, and normally we really admire people who have a worldly kind of wisdom. Maybe it's a business sense, someone who really knows how to make money and has done well, especially if that person has come from poverty and has risen up. We're maybe dazzled by people who have a mathematical ability, you know, people who can multiply numbers together in their head, like 3 or 4 digit numbers. We're impressed with people who have musical talent, because if we've tried it, we know this is not easy. Or how about linguistic competence? You meet someone who's fluent in multiple languages, and sometimes we go, wow. Well, I think Solomon was such a person, extremely talented. But I want us to keep in mind a message that we did in this iFaith series. It was 11 talks ago. It was called Honest, Holy, and Humble. And that talk was based on Deuteronomy 17. And Deuteronomy 17 says, Israel, if you ever have a king, if you want it to go well, here's some things he must avoid, and here's some things he must do. Things he must avoid, getting too much money. Money will corrupt him. Having too many horses. Taking many wives. Supporting idolatry. The king must be loyal to the covenant, as David was. And of course, David is the father of Solomon. There are things that the king must do. He must have a personal copy of God's law and read it every day. And that's important, because otherwise he'll think he's somehow above the law, some kind of exception. Well, just keep that in mind. And if you've not heard that iFaith talk, that's number 68, Honest, Holy, and Humble. Now we're in 1 Kings 10. We read, the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. This is like 20 tons. Crazy, huh? And Solomon made shields of gold, a great ivory throne overlaid with finest gold. All of his drinking vessels were of gold. None were of silver. Silver was not considered as anything in the days of Solomon. The king had a fleet of ships and so forth. So we see the money coming in, this imposing throne. I mean, did he want people to say, "Your Majesty," and to honor him more than they honored God? I don't think so. Maybe this is early in his reign. I'm not sure. But he's got all this gold everywhere. He drinks out of gold. His throne is covered with gold. He's got gold shields. He's got a fleet of ships for long-distance trading. This is import-export. And we continue. Thus King Solomon excelled all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom. And the whole earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put into his mind. And every one of them brought his present, articles of silver and gold, garments, myrrh, spices, horses and mules, and so much. Year by year, Solomon gathered together chariots and horsemen, 1,400 chariots, 12,000 horsemen. Wow. But this is exactly what the law says the king mustn't do. Now, these horses are not for racing. Okay, it's not, these aren't pet horses either. Horses are military. This is a reflection of an investment in military, horses and chariots. That's, you know, we would think guns and tanks. Or maybe stealth bombers and guided missiles. You get the idea. But he has this power, this military power, intellectual power, as we've already seen, financial power. And it's just increasing. And people are coming to see him. And later, also in this chapter, we see someone coming from the bottom of Arabia, from a kingdom called Saba or Sheba. And the Queen of Sheba comes and meets Solomon and is very impressed by him and I think determines that, yes, he's a good trading partner. They have opened up their diplomatic relationship. Now, I'd like to read a lengthier passage. This is from 1 Kings 11. It's the last time we see Solomon. I mean, there are stories about him in Chronicles as well, but in our current book, this is the chapter where he dies. And it's also the chapter where we see the later Solomon. You see, those two kings I'm talking about, it's really one person. It's Solomon at the beginning and Solomon later on at the end. 11:1. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, "You shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn your heart after their gods." Solomon clung to these in love. He had 700 wives who were princesses and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. This may be hard even to imagine. You know, 300 concubines, 700 wives. Well, these are princesses. But you're thinking, well, how could there? I mean, are there 700 kings? Well, in the ancient world, you had larger kingdoms like Egypt, and Solomon had married the daughter of Pharaoh. Pharaoh simply just means the king of Egypt. But there are also city-states, quite a few. Like Singapore today is a city-state. Maybe in school you learned about Athens and Sparta. But you have places like Tyre and Sidon, Phoenicia, which is modern Lebanon. And Solomon, this is a political thing. You marry the daughter of your potential ally or potential enemy, things go better. It's a smart move diplomatically. So this is not about sex. Okay, I mean, if it's about sex, I doubt he would have 1,000 women. The criteria here are political. And we note that his wives turned away his heart. Now, why is this? It's because they were from other countries. And only the Israelites worshipped one God. The other countries worshipped false gods. They worshipped many gods. I don't mean Egypt had one god. No, Egypt had hundreds of gods. They worship many gods. And there's a deep biblical connection between idolatry, right, the worship of other gods, and all kinds of sin in our lives. When God is not at the center, then really bad things happen. And that's what happened with Solomon. His wives turned his heart away. When he was old, he wasn't faithful to the Lord like David. And God is really upset. So what we see here, his wisdom, his worldly power seemed to continue to increase. nice portfolio, regal majesty. But he prioritizes politics ahead of the covenant with God. See, David didn't do that. David didn't play around with other gods. David sinned, but he was faithful to the covenant. Solomon was not. And his foreign marriages open up the door for Canaanite culture to come back into Israel. Really, it's leading to the downfall of Israel. And because his wives worship other gods, he's supporting them. He ends up supporting idolatry, even with money. I mean, I think the money that came into his kingdom. Not only that, we see him organizing labor, harsh labor, like almost enslavement, forcing people to work a certain number of months a year. His son Rehoboam does this even more, and that will lead to a division of the kingdom. As soon as Solomon dies, well, very soon after, Rehoboam, his son, tries these strongman tactics. He tries to use some of the worldly wisdom of his father, and people won't take it. They will not take it. And so the north says, forget you. The south, where Judah is the principal tribe, stays faithful because Jerusalem is right there, and Benjamin hangs in there. Benjamin stays faithful. But for the others, they're not going to be going to Jerusalem to be controlled and insulted by this guy Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. So there's this division. And then you have the northern kingdom after Solomon's death. That lasts about 200 years. And then they're destroyed by the Assyrians. And what we call the 10 lost tribes, they're gone forever. They intermarry. They're settled. It's very confusing. There are multiple dynasties. Whereas in the south, all the kings are descendants of David. So there's one dynasty in the south. If this is confusing to you, think of the map behind me. This is the British Isles. Now, currently, Scotland, where we live, is united with England and Wales and Northern Ireland. It's one country. But there was a time when you had different kings in Scotland and in England, and it's hard to keep them clear, different queens as well. Well, time for some questions. What are we supposed to do with this? This message on the wise fool, which is Solomon, the sophomore. Sophomore because sophomore means wise fool. Sophos, wise, moros, fool, Greek word, sophomore, wise fool. I don't want to be that. I mean, I am a fool sometimes. I want to be wise, but I don't want to be foolish and not even know it. How did Solomon get there? Well, one compromise at a time. So here are my questions. First, what sort of wisdom do we admire? Is it worldly wisdom? Is it about what people can do with money or numbers or music or whatever? Is it that? Or is it spiritual? I mean, real wisdom is knowledge used spiritually. But what do we admire? We want true wisdom? Look at Jesus Christ. Look at his words, his habits, his interactions, his relationships. Look at his character, his priorities. This shows wisdom. That will help us. Look at him. He's the King of Kings. He's not foolish like this old foolish King Solomon. Second, do we see that there's a conflict, an unavoidable conflict between worldly politics and compromises and God's kingdom? It's not good. How about this question? Is there a difference between the early you and the later you? For me, the early Douglas said my first 20 years as a Christian, and the later Douglas, the following 20 years. I'm in my fifth decade right now as a Christian. But, you know, just because you begin well doesn't mean you end well. So are we more holy, more committed, or are we drifting like Solomon? And how about this final question? You see, the king, Deuteronomy 17, was to read and meditate on God's law daily. And we cannot help but wonder whether Solomon excused himself from this obligation. You and me, do we feel somehow above the law, that we don't need to spend that time in God's word, to let God's word shape us and help us to be more like Christ? Well, those are some questions that come from the passage. Of course, you can find more. And our next iFaith message will jump ahead a century to the time of the prophet Elijah. Thanks for listening.